At the entrance to the village of Nueva Italia, 500 kilometers west of Mexico City, a group of masked teenagers is stopping the cars. They are not criminals, they are part of a self-defense group. This is the entrance to Tierra Caliente, a zone that has been controlled by the Caballeros Templarios, or Knights Templar drug cartel, for the last 12 years. Now, armed civilians are trying to win the territory back from the cartel. What are you doing?
I'm fighting for my land.
Why?
So that there will be no more crime.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
Like nearly 80 other villages in the state of Michoacán, people from Nueva Italia have risen up in arms to throw out the drug cartel. Until not long ago, it was the drug traffickers who used to stop and search. But then it was to steal the vehicle or blackmail the passengers. This radical change has confused some locals. Do you know who these people are?
No, we don't know.
You don't know if they are self-defense members or narcos?
We don't know.
They hide their faces to avoid retaliation from the Knights Templar. Most of the cartel's employees have withdrawn to the mountains. But as we can see in this video filmed by a self-defense group member, even the help of the federal police is not enough to get rid of them completely. Who are the Knights Templar, who terrorized Tierra Caliente into silence for so many years?
Get out, Templars!
The cartel lived amongst people here, acting in the plain light of day. But the vigilante groups who are chasing them out of town are learning more and more about the lives of the people who have dominated them for so many years. A young man from the village of La Huerta shows us what used to be the house of the local Knights Templar leader. He ran away a couple of weeks ago because he was afraid that the villagers were about to threaten him.
Yes, it's a big house. He left a safe there. That was his safe. I don't know what used to be in it. It was already empty when we came in.
He took everything with him?
Yes, he ran away before we arrived.
How did you know him?
We knew he was a Knight Templar, called the Monster, the famous Monster.
He had lived here for years without fearing the people he used to blackmail and intimidate.
He lived well, but we could not take it anymore and rose up against them. One single person could not have defended himself against them. They would have killed us.
They haven't yet decided whether they're going to paint over the signature left by the Monster or leave it there as a reminder. What are you going to do with this house?
It's going to be ours. We will use it as a shelter to sleep in.
The house is going to be turned into the local self-defense headquarters. The Monster didn't leave much more than personal papers behind him. But in other places, the spoils have included much more surprising objects. This jeweled encrusted statue is a portrait of El Chayo, one of the seven leaders of the Knights Templar. The spokesman for all the self-defense groups in Michoacán is showing them in a press conference, along with other objects that show the sectarian nature of the cartel. Like this silver spade, costing an estimated $4,500 and engraved with medieval Templar symbols.
This was in the house of a laundry woman.
An armed civilian who wants to remain anonymous shows us some objects that the people handed over after the criminals ran away.
They asked her to put this in a safe place. Here, if you have a fruit shop or a grocery shop or whatever, and they ask you to keep something for them, you have to do it. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Coats of mail, tunics, mere fancy dresses or ritual objects. The Knights Templar also have their own sacred book. El Chayo used to edit his own pieces. Pensamientos, or thoughts, is a list of biblical-sounding prayers.
I begged for wisdom, and he gave me problems to solve.
El Chayo had been declared dead by the Mexican government, allegedly shot down by the police. But he survived and turned his accident into a mystical episode of his life.
They also brought us this. It's a code book.
Libros de códigos.
This man, El Chayo, was left in coma after the shootout with the federal police. But he woke up 3 days later, which is why he thinks he's God. So he put his own photo next to Jesus Christ's.
The Knights used to hand out this code book in the villages they controlled. It says it is forbidden to kidnap, steal, kill, or do harm to one's fellow beings. Only the Knights themselves violated the rules. The self-defense groups declared war on an enemy with major advantages. The Knights have a solid hierarchy and organization, and they know how to use weapons. In the village of La Huerta, some are using firearms for the first time in their lives. They took up arms 3 days ago and are still very nervous whenever a car approaches their checkpoints.
We have just received an anonymous call threatening the two newly formed vigilantes groups. They said they would attack us tonight.
Almost all these men used to be blackmailed by the Knights Templar, from the modest lemon farmers to the wealthy business owners.
We could not sell our harvests the way we wanted. We always had to sell them through their middlemen. And these people were the Templars.
Rudimentary trenches made of bags filled with soil from the fields and hunting rifles is all they have to protect themselves. A group of more experienced vigilantes has just arrived to offer support.
We have brought clothes for the people who rose up in arms.
These vigilantes have bulletproofed their own trucks with whatever they could find. Jorge's group, like almost all the other vigilantes, claimed weapons and equipment that were abandoned by the criminals or lost during shootouts.
Look, one of our bullets left a mark here.
And then you took it from the place where the shootout was?
Yes, they were left here and we took them. And now we're fighting with them.
Now they fight with the same weapons with which they had been threatened all these years. Nobody was really prepared for that kind of job.
Nobody. We had to show them how.
Between 10,000 and 20,000 civilian vigilantes are now armed here in Tierra Caliente, without any real control.
Found in one of their houses.
This young man shows us a gold-covered pistol he took from a Knight Templar's house.
It's a nice gun.
Can it turn bad at some point to tolerate firearms in the village?
Yes, it could. At some point, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. So at one point, man, somebody might be drinking or something. They have a gun, they feel brave. Something could go wrong.
The self-defense groups, heroes of the oppressed, or danger for the future. After having freed Tierra Caliente from the Knights Templar, how difficult will it be to free it from weapons?
As soon as the state of Michoacán is freed from organized crime, we will give up our arms.
At the beginning of January, the Mexican government tried to disarm the vigilante groups. But they refused. Giving up their arms would have left them at the mercy of the cartel, who would have sought revenge. Finally, the government agreed to turn a blind eye on the weapons, but only certain ones. On the ground, the rules still seem a little confused. These boys proudly exhibit their semi-automatic weapons, but they hide them as the federal police approach. You hide the weapons?
No.
I saw you hiding the weapons just when they walked by.
Please ask your questions to that guy over there.
What do you do when the federal police arrive?
I don't know.
What kind of relationship do you have with them?
Tell her you don't know. I don't know.
Ricardo and his brother Hennessy have fake weapon permits.
This is what lets us have our gun.
Who did it?
Well, we did it. We
the town, the president, everybody backs us up with it. The president from our town, everybody backs us up with it.
In spite of the risks, most people are backing the vigilantes. It's a good thing, as far as I'm concerned, because we were sick and tired of all these things that happened. They burned down so many things in Apatzingan, and they destroyed the road to stop us from going there. Apatzingan, the cradle of the Knights Templar, and the ultimate objective of the vigilantes, who have been preparing a final assault on the city for months. In this town, the Templars still walk freely in the streets, but the vigilantes already have an important ally: the Catholic Church. The masses given by Father Goyo are always overcrowded. They have turned into a more than just reading of the gospel. He has been constantly threatened for speaking out against the cartel.
We realized that neither the politicians nor the government really wanted to solve our problem in Tierra Caliente. If someone in Apatzingan still has a hint of shame, show it. If someone in Apatzingan still has a hint of dignity, stand up.
Until recently, Father Goyo had to perform his masses wearing a bulletproof jacket.
Yesterday I gave away my bulletproof jacket, because I don't need it anymore. But yesterday, I was followed. Not threatened, followed. I had to drive out of the city, and they were waiting for me. Fortunately, I'm in communication with the security. I have a GPS and they are following me. I just have to push this button on my cell phone and I can talk to a security chief. He was there in just 5 minutes with a helicopter.
The federal police and the army are already in Apatzingan, but the place is still dangerous. Father, what do you think of the arrival of the federal troops here?
It's good. We are putting our trust in them. I think they work well. They've given good results. They have arrested various criminals. And they're looking for every one of them. If a cat was a Templar, it needs to be arrested. All of them. The Templars have no choice. God bless you.
But the Templars are still visibly active here. They burned down 4 shops downtown in mid-January. All commercial activity came to a stop for a full week as business owners feared being next on the list. We could not open because they would throw gasoline bottles and set fire to us. That's why we remained closed. If we had opened, they would have attacked us the next day. Do such things show that the Templars still have control here? Or are these desperate acts from a criminal group on the run? Self-defense groups and federal forces have already managed to bring peace to a dozen counties, but many parts of the state of Michoacán still live under the rule of the cartel. The sun has just risen in Cualcomán, on the border of the territory controlled by the vigilantes. For the armed civilians, today's mission is a hard one. They are going to Aquila, a village controlled by the Knights Templar, to see if the people are ready to take up arms. 2 federal police vehicles will escort them, which is why the civilians are not going to carry heavy weapons today.
We don't carry them openly, because just now there are lots of policemen and soldiers. So that's how we will travel today.
Misael and Felipe are the leaders of the groups. They know that along the 60 kilometers that separate the 2 villages, the risk of ambush is very high.
They haven't arrested any of the cartel leaders that used to be active here. Nobody was arrested. They're all in the mountains around Aquila. That's where they all are.
Y pues ahí están todos.
That's where they all are, and they can even be heard. With their radios, Misael and Felipe managed to tap into communications between the criminals. They are warning that the convoy of policemen and armed civilians is on the way.
We are listening to the criminals' conversations. They are communicating with each other, but we don't know exactly where they are.
The pickups are slowing down. They are all on alert. Dramatic events have already occurred here.
Just here, they took one of my cousins and kidnapped him. Just because he was one of my relatives. He didn't even know the people had taken up arms. Just because we were family.
There are still tents when arriving in Aquila. Around 100 people are waiting for the group on the main square. The police and the army are securing the place. The first disappointment, few people dared to come to the square.
Yes, it's bad that not everyone came.
Those who are here seem to be as angry with the authorities as they are with the cartel. The infiltration of the local governments by the cartel guaranteed them impunity that they have enjoyed for years.
Many people say, if we go there, they're going to kill us and our families. It's true, but the time has come.
No aguantamos más. Two members of Jaime's family have been killed by the cartel.
Right here, they killed my brother, in front of the police. I filed a complaint, but complaints never go anywhere.
After his brother was killed, Jaime did not expect things to get worse, but they also killed his son.
They told me that if I didn't go away, they would kill my family. So I sent my son to the United States, but they killed him there. These called their men there to make sure they would kill him. They shot 28 bullets into him, and they still threaten me. This is why I'm here, supporting the people, because we are tired of all this blackmail, all these kidnappings. We're exhausted. We can't take it anymore.
Do you think you could take up arms against them yourself?
Yes, I'm ready for that, because you know what? We have no choice anymore.
Many women also showed up. This one lets us see the scar of a bullet she received while she was just walking by. Next to her is the family of a man who disappeared after being kidnapped by the Knights Templar. I want my son back. I don't want them to kill him. I want him alive. And if he's dead, I want to know where he is. He was threatened. They would tell him they were going to kill him. So I would say, son, leave all this behind. But he didn't. And this is what happened. If these bad guys killed him, well, let's kill them too. Was he blackmailed by the criminals? Yes. How much was it? 2,000 pesos per month. The hopes of the vigilantes are weak. Speaking out in public against the Knights Templar can still lead to death.
Enough, Knights Templar. We want you out. We don't want you here in Aquila.
The most daring take the microphone to vent their years of rage and anger. But they all know that at this very moment, various informers working for the cartels are watching.
They steal our resources. We don't have to pay them with our work. Those who dared to speak today have to move forward. They cannot turn back anymore, not one single step. Because they have spoken publicly. And there is no doubt that informers amongst them will tell the Templarios who spoke and what they said.
This feeling of insecurity is the same that used to haunt the people of Qualcomán just a couple of months ago. Like 80% of the locals, Misael is working in the wood industry. The owner of a sawmill, he saw the Templars arriving 3 years ago and start to blackmail all the businesses.
They would make you pay for every cubic meter that came through here. For example, for a trunk like this one, they would take 120 pesos. I was paying 1 million pesos per year to them, more or less.
1 million pesos, that is $60,000. He would pay them every month during meetings the Templars imposed. Sometimes the local cartel leader would visit them in person.
They called him El Tena, and everybody referred to him as El Señor. And yes, on various occasions he came to Cualcomán. We could see him in the street, in four or five vehicles guarding him, with heavily armed people.
At last, Misael can return to a normal routine, but the marks from the day the town took up arms remain. The Templars set a sawmill on fire before running away.
They burned everything. There were a lot of expensive machines here, a lot of wood. They burned everything down. These trailers as well. It was a loss of 6 or 7 million pesos. And really, it made me so angry. All these machines were so expensive. The owner lost everything. And 50 people lost their jobs.
In spite of these bad memories, the uprising on the 15th of May 2013 was one of the most thrilling days in the lives of the people of Cualcomán.
It took us 2 months to organize it. We did it with Felipe and a couple of other guys. Only four people knew what was going on, until the day before, when we informed some other people. Not more than 30 men. So we were really scared.
At 9 a.m., the men were scattered around the main square, waiting for the signal.
And we're nervous. We're trying to eat tacos. We couldn't eat. We're like shaking. Like, oh man, we're shaking. I couldn't pass no food. Everybody was nervous. And then he looks around and he sees on another taco stand, a puntero. One of the main guys that would order people right here from the Templars, right? And he looks at us, and we already had these under, and we already had our guns, and we were all nervous, and we're like, oh man, something went wrong. It was already 9:15, and nothing happened. And he was looking at it, he was staring at us, and I'm like, I waved at him to see if nothing was wrong, right?
At 9:20, a gunshot from Misael let them know the time had come.
Guns. We had no rifle, we had nothing. So our plan was to disarm the police and take their guns. They have powerful guns.
And the cops were like, no. And so we just start pushing them to the side and throwing them in the
cells. At that point, you had to gunpoint them.
You got a gunpoint with
move,
Jim.
Move.
That was a tragedy of one day. One night without sleep. Then 2, 3, 4, 5 nights without sleep.
AR-15s from the police.
Yeah.
When we started running around town, knocking doors from where we knew they lived, and started,
searching their house for guns.
It was amazing how people would run towards
hey, what do we do? Can we pull out a gun?
Where are the shirts? Hey, ¿qué ocupan? No, pues tráete la pistola. Bring your gun. Bring whatever you got. El domingo llega
el ejército. So the army came on Sunday to take away our weapons. They said, we want the weapons, you're going to hand them over. We said we wouldn't, and the colonel left, saying we had 2 hours to hand them over peacefully. That was a moment of terror, because we were going to be left without arms, and we did not trust the army. We did not trust the federal police. They hadn't arrived yet. So what did we do? We thought things over for an hour, and then someone said, we have to call the people in. We have to ring the church bells.
When they came to disarm us the second day, the army, they came to disarm us, the whole town went over on them. They didn't let them.
The excitement was such that in 40 minutes, we got 10,000 people together. That was a difficult but beautiful moment. We felt shivers down our spine, realizing that we had decided between four people what was a necessity for the town.
Era una necesidad del pueblo.
In just a couple of months, life has changed radically in Tierra Caliente. The self-defense groups are a story of solidarity, bravery, but also of fear, with an uncertain future.
We cannot go backwards. We have to move forward until we die or until our people live in peace.
Today, even though they have freed themselves from the grip of the criminals, they cannot lower their guard. But they have won back their dignity and are determined not to let the Knights Templar come back.
Many things have happened since then that we will never forget. But that day, that moment, we'll never forget that. What has happened, what we have shared. Confronting a monster with no idea how to do it, and we made it.